In terms of eternity, ek is nog nat agter die ore. Father, we sang this morning about leading us to your heart. And that's why we're here. We're most certainly not here to listen to a man speak. Our fellowship is good. It's wonderful to connect with each other, Lord God. You command a blessing there when we gather in unity. And these things are great, but Lord, our hunger and our thirst is for you, Father. In these few moments that we have together, Lord, help us as people to withdraw ourselves from the distractions and anything this morning that would stop us from having intimate connection with you. It's been a rough, painful week for so many people. And if we think of what possibly lays ahead, it can be very intimidating. We can do nothing about the past, and tomorrow's most certainly not a guarantee. But here and now is real. And in these moments, Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Holy Spirit, would you minister to our hearts this morning? Father, speak to us. Show us your heart, Lord. All of us, we open our lives to you right now and say, Daddy, speak. Speak, Lord. Here we are. We acknowledge our absolute dependency upon you, Almighty God. My prayer is, Lord, that you move beyond the limitations of my speech and that you give to each one of us what we need to hear from you this morning. Holy Spirit, let these words change our lives. May we know you more, Father God, because that's eternal life. May we become more like Jesus as a result of our time spent with you at this table you've prepared. And we bless you for that. In the name of Jesus Christ, and all God's sons and daughters shouted, Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It's my privilege once again to share the Word of God with you. We continue with our theme, Hearts of the Fathers. We will do for probably several months because it's so much. It's going to be the norm. We trust that as we go on, the Holy Spirit will start to change our hearts and our minds for this. The Lord laid on my heart to share this morning. Folks, we're going to be hearing that word a lot, Father, Father, Father. But ladies, moms, married, single, younger, older, whatever, please understand, this is just as critical for you as it is for the gents. Why? Because it will teach the ladies the areas where they should specifically and intentionally intercede for the fathers, the husbands, and the guys in their lives. That's why it's important for everybody. Is that okay, folks? So when we're saying all to the fathers, ladies don't think, okay, I can start preparing my shopping list because Mozzie's going on about fathers again. No, please open your heart and spirit and see. These are the areas. And God saw fit to send Eve to Adam because he knew Adam needs a helper. Okay, I'm going to say that again so that the rest of the men will be convinced. God saw fit that we need helpers, gentlemen. We need helpers. We need the help of the ladies. God has put them together with their brains that are... because they see things differently. We need the ladies to help us do this thing. The hearts of the fathers. Last week we spoke about how as men, we can honor our wives. And what's critical is we can show public demonstrations of affection and when people are watching, arrange to have flowers delivered or whatever the case may be. But the critical areas, gentlemen, is in the quiet recesses of our hearts and in our thought lives. How do we honor our wives when we see ladies that are hardly dressed? How do we honor our wives in their absence when jokes start being made about wives being balls and chains and handbrakes and whatever? That's what we spoke about last week. We also spoke about the difference between how most of us love with conditions. I love you because I get, can you remember that? As opposed to how God loves unconditionally. That was last week. This week we're going to start to touch and to speak about the four primary responsibilities of fathers. The primary responsibilities of fathers, there's four of them. It's establishing moral and spiritual authority. It's conferring identity. It's providing security and affirming potential. Those four areas we're going to look at over the next couple of weeks. Today, we're just going to start with establishing moral and spiritual authority. Simply put, establishing authority. It's one of the four priorities of fathers. And maybe you're not a father this morning. If you're a Christian, how many of you would consider yourselves a Christian? Can I see a show of hands, please? Okay, others are not sure. That's fine. I'm fine with that. Over the years, my understanding and definition of a Christian has changed. Where I'm at in my walk with God now, a Christian is this. Because I've seen Christians do some crazy things, so-called in the name of Jesus. So my understanding of a Christian right now is anybody who lives and loves like Jesus. I don't even want to say a Christian is somebody who follows Jesus. You know why? Because the followers crucified him. I'll just leave that there. But anyway, I'm off the topic. Help me stay focused. So this week we're going to look at establishing authority. Okay. So to establish authority, we're going to look at some points quickly, a few scripture verses, and get through this and trust that the Holy Spirit settles this on our hearts. Are we ready for this, church? Let's learn from the Lord this morning. It's critical that a father understands that he's representing God's authority in his home. Not just any authority. Do it because I'm the boss. No. You're representing God's authority. Simply put, children need to understand that in the home, daddy should be and is God's representative. So a child should understand that when you rebel against dad, a God-fearing dad, you're rebelling against God. Have you wondered why there's such an attack and an onslaught on the father figure in homes? We've said this before, but it's worth repeating. Just look at the history of situation comedies, sitcoms on TV, how the fathers are ridiculed. To break down that father image, dad's just a jerk. He's the oaks that he's out of touch. He can't do this, he can't do that. He doesn't understand that. He's a has-been. And they attack the father image. It affects the way we relate to Father God. It affects the way we relate to Father God. Before I go on any further, I just sense to say this, and I apologize I didn't do it sooner. Our sincere condolences to Alvin and Bernadine for the kids at the passing and graduation of Eleanor. Our sympathies and our prayers go out with you. Ek gaan haar reg waar baie, baie mis. Sy het altyd haar erre so gerol. Pastoor. Ek gaan haar reg waar mis, but we know she's graduated to be with the Lord. So we can make light of that, but ja, die hartseer is nie lekker nie, en mag die Heilige Gees julle deur hierdie moeilike tyd dra. It's amazing how life is. One graduates to be with the Lord, and then a first-time baby comes into the church. That's just the circle of life, folks. So, a father needs to understand that he's not just the authority figure because of whatever. He's actually representing a higher authority. Gentlemen, can we see the weight of this responsibility? Children, do we understand this? That's who God chose as his representative in the family context, representing God's authority. A father should have a clear conviction in his heart of his responsibility. Why do we use the word conviction? A conviction is not something that we do, a preference that comes and goes based on circumstances. I prefer this now because this is what's fine for me. And in a couple of weeks or a couple of months or in a couple of years, when it doesn't suit me anymore, then something else is the standard. No, no, no. A conviction is a value that we live by. So a father can't have a preference. This is discipline week. So for this week, we're going to discipline. But next week, it's open season. You guys can do what you want when you... No, no, no. A conviction is something that we live by. There's a difference between people who live by preference. You see, preferences are what suits us for now. It doesn't suit me to go to church in winter because it's colder. Mense moenie lag nie. Christen is arm, maar snaakse goeters, hoor. Weather affects people. No, it's... God understands. That's how we live by preference. But conviction, your conviction is a value system that you live by. A father needs to have the conviction that this is what it's about. This is his responsibility. His conviction is he's God's representative. That's the conviction. And that authority has been given to him by God. Okay. Third point. It's to strengthen this conviction, make it something that you can live by. Because it's challenging, gentlemen. It is not easy. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. But if you look at the mess of society, you understand that it's not actually happening. That's why we're speaking about this. We believe that the issues in society, the cornerstone of society is the family unit. And if we teach the fathers how to bring heaven home, we're on the right track. Because if the family's healed, the church will be healed. If the church will be healed, the communities will be healed. If the community's healed, the country's sharp. But get the dad, break the dad down, let there be moral failure and decline over there. Family falls apart. If the family falls apart, the church is in a mess. If the church is in a mess, there's no moral compass for the nation, ladies and gentlemen. Can we see the big picture here? It's not just our dad's talk. It's not that. It's just something that God will use to transform this country and how we live and how our kids are raised for the future. Okay. So it's conviction. And a father will be able to do this. Okay. His conviction will be strengthened when he clearly knows what God's mission is. So great. Great, Mozzie. I'm God's representative. Thanks. Great, Mozzie. I have this responsibility from God. That's fantastic. But what's it all for? What's it for? A father needs to have a clear conviction of what God's mission is. And God's mission is not Mission Impossible. How many of you enjoyed those Mission Impossible movies? So right there, ne? What's God's mission? I ask you, just think about that. What is God's mission? To fulfill his purpose? Okay, then I might ask, what's his purpose? So what's God's mission? Speak to me, church. Come on. Somebody shout it out. What's God's mission? Every time Jesus opened his mouth, or his parables, what were they about? The kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like. Is it ringing any bells, church? It's quiet here. Ooh, Lord help us. What's God's mission? God's mission is establishing his kingdom here on earth. That's it. That's all Jesus spoke about. I shouldn't be speaking about anything else other than that. Kingdom principles, isn't it? So the whole importance of having a healthy family unit is that the Father, we help the fathers bring heaven home so that God's kingdom can be built in our lives. A father needs a clear conviction of that. I have this authority. I'm representing God to fulfill God's mission. So men, maybe you enjoyed Mission Impossible. Maybe you wish you could do the things that CGI helped Tom Cruise do in those movies. But men, we're on a mission. We're on a mission to build God's kingdom. How cool is that? That should get you excited. I love to be on a mission. Didn't you remember when kids used to dress up, we used to go on some secret mission? I love that. All the gear and no idea. Dressed up, make sure that I'm tactical. We're on a mission to build God's kingdom. And it's not Mission Impossible. We said we're going to have to do the impossible, but we're on the winning side. Can I get an amen this morning? Okay. So he needs a conviction understanding of what God's mission is. And as fathers, are we trying to fit God's kingdom in our lives? Are we trying to do that? Or are we fitting our life into God's kingdom mission? There's a difference. Subtle play on words, but so profound. Are we trying to fit God's kingdom in our life? I've got my life. I've got my priorities. I've got my things to do. I've got my business responsibilities. I'm a CEO or a oh no, or whatever you are. And then you try and fit God's kingdom somewhere into that. Or is it, there's God's kingdom, and I'm going to take my whole life and submit myself to that. That's the difference. So let's say this. Where are we at today, folks? Do we have secular homes in which Christians live, or Christians in secular homes? Or do we have Christian homes in which Christians live? Clarification of the word secular. My Afrikaans sprekende geliefdes, baie dikwels hoor ek hulle praat van die circular clubs. It's not circular, it's secular. Secular means not necessarily affiliated or attached to anything religious or spiritual. That's what it means. So what do we have? Do we have secular homes where Christians live? Or Christian homes where there's a secular lifestyle? Or is it Christian homes where Christians live? You be the judge of that. Think about what goes down in your home. What it's like there. What gets watched. What gets listened to. What gets discussed. What reading material is around there. What gets allowed under the roof. And then let's ask ourselves. Are there secular homes in which Christians live? Christian homes in which secular people live? Or secular lifestyle, or Christian homes in which Christians live. Okay, now, to accurately represent God's authority, a father will need to do some things, and we're going to touch briefly on those things this morning. Number one, no particular order, and there's six of them. Let's go. To accurately represent God's authority, a father will need to be grounded in the absolute authority of the Word. What standards are in this home? And where do we get those values from? It should be the Word. Not the men's section, if there is such a section in the Cosmopolitan magazine. I don't know. Not some philosophical teaching in the Men's Health magazine. Or whatever. The wisdom that you're implementing in your home. It might sound cool and radical, but whose wisdom is it? The wisdom of the world? Or the wisdom of God's Word? Gentlemen, the Word of God needs to be the absolute and final authority in our homes. The Word of God. If it's not between Genesis and maps, it has no place forming the basis of what we deem the authority in our homes. Are we clear on that, gentlemen? So it needs to be the Word of God. Is it scriptural? Is it something that Jesus is okay with? So, Father, to accurately represent this authority, will need to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Manne, dit beteken nie noodwendig dat jy elke adres hoef te ken van die versie. The chapter and the verse. It's good to know that. If the child comes to you, you know, you say, well, where is this in the Bible? Let's go to Google. Donkey, here for Google. Or you have a concordance or Bible programs, you can find it. But don't think you are disqualified because you don't know the chapter and the verse. Ask God to help you. The Spirit will remind you of everything that Jesus teaches you. John 14 and verse 26 says so. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will remind us of everything that He taught us. But when you know and understand the principle, then you know that your authority is based on the Word of God. This is the principle from the Word. That should be the authority. Number two, the Father should be filled with the Holy Spirit. We should be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just know about the Holy Spirit. So there's this group of guys, they get around and they decide that they're going to have a convention about how to catch fish. And they advertise it for months and months. They market it very well. They put it on social media. There's printed media. And they advertise this convention about how to catch fish. And they choose a venue. And they get together. And they divide different areas. And they get the guys to discuss how to catch fish in their different areas. Then they break it down even further. They get people to discuss how to catch different kinds of fish. Then they have another group where they discuss how to catch fish in different kinds of waters. Then there's another group that discusses all the equipment that's available to help men catch fish. And then they talk about ways and times when it's best suited to go and catch fish. And then they talk about all different baits about how, and this conference goes on and on. And while all this is going on, nobody is actually out there catching any freaking fish. And it's like that with the Holy Spirit. What does it help? We have teaching and discussion and understand and know about Him, etc., but we're not filled with the person of the Holy Spirit. I can be able to quote you theologically the and use fancy Bible scholar and biblical degree words here about the person of the Holy Spirit, but simply, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you know Him? Do you know Him, the person of the Holy Spirit? Why must we be filled with the Holy Spirit? Ephesians 5 and verse 18. Don't be drunk with wine. Relax, I'm not going to talk against alcohol. You will say, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not complicated. It's not theologically confusing. It's not something that should split churches, although it has. It says simply, be filled with the Spirit. There's nothing complicated about that, folks. A father needs that to accurately represent this authority in the home. Point number three. As fathers, we need to be obeying our purified conscience. So let's say we're born again. Great. We're rooted and grounded in the Word. Great. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. Great. And then we face a choice, which we all faced with many times, many days, all the time, choice between right and wrong, good and bad, pure and evil, the world, the Word. When we face with that choice, am I acting in obedience to that? Am I acting in obedience to that, gentlemen? So, you know, I have this authority. I'm God's representative. I know what the Spirit says. I know what the Word says. I'm confronted with this choice. Am I going to obey? That's where it gets real. That's where our life lessons start being preached to our children more than anything we say by what they see us do. How many of you know, parents, the children don't do what we tell them. They do what they see us do. Have you seen kids? It's the cutest thing. They hold, either they got a real one or a toy one, a cell phone. En afhangend van hoe intensief our gesprek is, that determines how fast we walk up and down. If it's just casual, it's good to hear from you. But I told you. They do what we do. So for a father to accurately represent that God-given authority in his home, the father needs to obey. I challenged my dad. He's gone to be with Jesus. I challenged him one day. I was at that age where I had more testosterone than brain cells. They should have hired me because I knew everything. I said to my dad, if I want to smoke and drink, you can't stop me because you guys do it as well. And he said, oh, really? Sit down. Open the bottle, and he poured me one. I'm like, okay, I'm not really interested. But this is what it's done to me. So if you want to do it, go ahead. Die wind was uit my seile geneem, and I didn't want to. I didn't want it anyway, but I challenged the authority, you see. Why? Because they were saying one thing and living another thing out. Fathers, how are we with that? You know, do we expect our children to do things that we're not prepared to do? Or do we prohibit them from doing things that we do ourselves? So obedience is key. James 1, verse 22 to 25. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Wow, I love the Bible. So where's the mirror there that it speaks of? Genesis and maps. Between Genesis and maps, that's the mirror. Look at how Jesus is. The heroes of faith in Hebrews 11, look there. See the character of those that failed and those that succeed and those to whom God gave grace and forgiveness after they failed. Hello? Because I used to look at these disciples and think, you know, what a bunch of muchos. Jesus asked them, guys, just pray with me for an hour. Just stick with me. And then they're like a cup of dosa. I'm like, I wouldn't have done that, really. Come on, man. We can see ourselves in so many of the other people in the scriptures that have failed. We see ourselves in Peter. I see myself speaking before I think. I promise you, Lord, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And then when it demands change in my life, then... So that we look at the mirror of the word. Look and say, okay, what in here do I see is not like me? What is there about me that's in the word, yeah, that needs to change? That's what it means, gentlemen, to obey. So to accurately represent this authority, we need to obey the purified conscience. Point number four. We need to be confronting moral issues, not just turning a blind eye. We need to confront immoral issues, Confront it. You are God's authority in the home. What are you letting your children watch? Who are you letting your children hang around with? How are you and what are you letting them spend their money on if you give them pocket money? We need to confront the immoral issues that come into our homes. Folks, they come into our homes whether we invite them there or not. Let me say this, they invade our homes. They invade our homes. Men and Father, we need to confront these immoral issues. What do we allow? When I was preparing this, I'm going to say this, I'm just being obedient because I'm not here to make friends. Is that okay? Just keep loving me as I keep loving you. Men, do you allow sleepovers at your home under the same roof in the same room? You say, well, what's wrong with that, Mozzie? Lots. Come see me afterwards. I'll draw you pictures if necessary. Do you allow people that are courting each other to live together under the same roof over which you have God-given authority? Is it getting a little bit too personal now, Mozzie? Please move to the next point. We as fathers need to address the immoral issues in our homes. We need to do that. We need to be the moral compass and guide for our children when it comes to these things. We can't just turn a blind eye. Well, it's like I can do this in front of you this morning. I can't see you, so you can't see me. I'm safe. You can't do that, folks. We have that responsibility, Jim. Yeah, but you just want to maintain the peace. Yeah, Vilni Bekleni, guys, it's not about peace. You know what? If you don't do it according to the Prince of Peace, there will be no peace in your home. If you don't seek to deal with these issues, which might be contentious, it's not about fighting and disrupting the cool vibe in a home. It's about protecting your loved ones from the wiles of the devil. That's why it's important, gentlemen. Is this ministering to any man here this morning? Ladies, does this make sense? Is this something that we can pray for the men for? Come on, folks. Okay. We see this principle in 2 Samuel chapter 12, where the prophet Nathan confronts David on his immorality. Can't just turn a blind eye. Point number five. As the heads of the home, as God's authority figure, Akaziri Basni, I'm representing heavenly authority. I live by convictions, and the standards that we set here are God's word, and I'm on this mission. And Mozzie said the mission is to build the kingdom of God, so I'm going to be a champion of this cause, and I'm going to go and do it, but I'm not prepared to submit to authority myself. Point number five, as the heads of the home, as the fathers, we need to be submitted to accountability and authority ourselves. Okay? You can never be a good leader unless you're first a good follower. Because how are you going to show people how to follow if you don't know how to follow and if you don't follow? Did you get that, folks? So if they're aspiring leaders here, and if you're already a leader, you can never be a good leader unless you're first a good follower. I'm going to say something that's going to get you to think, wow, is this scriptural? Yes, it is. Do you know that even God submits to something? Even God is submitted to something. Wow. Waar kry jy dit, mos? Kyk gou saam met my in julle Bybels toe. Psalm 138 in verse 2, it says, I worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above your name. You've magnified your word above your name. Now the name, according to Philippians, the name of God is the name that's above all names. The name at which every knee shall one day bow to and confess as Lord. Everything and everyone bows to the authority of God's name. It's the ultimate authority submitted to God's word. You've magnified your word above your name. Folks, even God understands submitting to authority. As men, we need to submit ourselves to the authorities of God and follow God so we can say to our children, our families, follow me as I follow the Lord. Magnified your word above your name. Last point, point number six. And then we're going to recap. As fathers, to accurately represent God's authority, we need to be assuming the disciplinary responsibility in the home. Wanneer die kinders getugtig moet word, it's the dad's responsibility. Some practical ways for doing that. Don't use a backhand. Don't use a forehand or an uppercut or a left to. Don't use any of those things, gentlemen. Also, don't use tasers. Don't use stuff like that. Moenie wag totdat jou hier meer gestrip is. And then all you can, you just act in blind rage. If it moves you, hit it. No, don't do that. Julle lag. I've been on the receiving end of some stuff like that, but that's, it's all under the blood and by the grace of God. You hands are given to us to bless, to heal, to pick up, to nurture, to care. Use something. A rod. The scripture says a rod. Use your imagination what a rod is. And apply the rod of correction to the seat of learning. The rod of correction to the seat of learning. Listen to me, and whoever listens to this on social media, however far God lets this go or not, I don't care what any government or any child psychologist or what any philosopher says about how to discipline children. The living God has declared that it is scriptural and in the best interests of our children to physically chastise them in love. I'm not talking about child abuse. I'm not talking about applying the rod of learning to the seat of correction. It is biblical. Deal with it. That's how we should be doing it. The scripture says clearly, I'm going to summarize it this morning. If you don't physically discipline your children, you're sending them to hell. The father needs to do that responsibility. A practical tip to do that, the shower or the bathroom is a place of cleansing. When a child needs disciplining, it is, jylle lach. Ek sê, so wach, wait, I'm still preaching. When they discipline in disciplining and they need to be cleansed of that waywardness, they need to be cleansed of thy, jy weet, hulle skape met bokneigings. Hulle moet skoongemaak word van die bokneigings, nee. You take them to the bathroom and explain, I love you. I care for you. God loves you. God cares for you. That's why God has placed me, your father, in your life to discipline you when you need it. What you've done is against the principles and the values that we hold dear in this home. I'm now going to chastise you in love. Cry for you. And afterwards you say, do you understand why I did it? I love you. And folks, you laugh, but this is important. If you chastise the child because the glass is broken, they become performance-based pleasers. In other words, they try to do things to please you. But if you explain, I'm not eating you because the glass is broken. There's another 11 of them out of the set of 12, or 7 out of 8 or whatever. I'm disciplining you because you were disobedient to a principle and a value that we hold dear. Can you see the difference, folks? Can you see the difference? So you explain the reason is not because this was broken or that is lost or whatever. Then they're gonna be obedient just when they're watching you. They're gonna be obedient just when you're in their presence. But let them hit the streets with the buddies, Chana. They're gonna be two different people. But when the values and the principles that you hold dear as a family are part of who they are as children, they understand what's happened here is a breach of confidence and a break of trust, and it's disobeying God's authority. It's not because of the consequences that I'm being punished. I'm being punished because a value has been broken here. There's the difference. So to recap quickly, let's look at what we've discussed this morning. I should do this all the time, and I'm going to tell you so that you can hold me accountable. A good preacher does the following. He tells you what he's going to tell you. He tells you what he wants to tell you, and then he tells you what he's told you. I'm going to tell you what I've told you. Okay. All right. So a father, he has to establish authority. It's critical that he understands that his authority is from God. He must have this as a conviction, not a passing phase based on preference. Okay. A father strengthens his conviction when he knows what God's mission is. A father understands that our lives must be fitting into God's kingdom instead of trying to fit God's kingdom into our lives. And we must understand the difference between having a secular home with Christians in, or a Christian home with secular mindset in, or Christian home with Christian people. And for a father to accurately represent God's authority, these six things need to be in place, just quickly. Rooted and founded and established in God's word. The word establishes the authority in a home. Father should be filled with the person of the Holy Spirit. A father should be acting in obedience to his purified conscience according to what the word says. Father must be confronting the immoral issues and immoralities that invade his home and the lives of his loved ones. Father must be submitted and accountable to authority himself. Niemand sê vir my wat ek moet doen nie. Well, this is a problem. And then last but by no means least, a father must be addressing the disciplinary issues in the home. A last scripture and then I'm done. Every single parenting instruction in the Bible is given to the fathers. Think about that. It's given to the fathers. Okay. Folks, if this is blowing your mind and you think, but you have all of these questions, I'm sure, I just sense in my spirit, I'm sure there's people with questions this morning. Please, 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 as Dion said, make the effort to get into a care group and discuss it and ask the questions there. Pastoring does not take place on a Sunday from up here listening to me wara, wara, wara for 30 plus minutes. The pastoring takes care in the week where we're there and support each other and do life together. So those questions that you have, get in the care group and discuss these things and let it settle in your hearts. Hebrews 12 and verse 6, for the Lord disciplines those he loves and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. So as we wrap up this morning, I'm going to ask the deep end to come up and get ready to lead us in a time of worship one more time. Let's ask ourselves this question this morning. Gentlemen, if we, and this is included in the care group discussion, if we have to ask our wives and our children how we are representing God's authority, what do you think they'd say? Think about that. If we have to ask our wives and our children how we are representing God's authority, what do you think they'd say? If they call it the way it is, straight out, what would they say? So this morning is not about putting a heavy on any man and making you feel like you're a failure, because that's a lie from the devil. This morning is about being manly, manning up to the shortcomings and the shortfalls in our lives, admitting that we need Jesus and say, God, I'm here to be helped. Is that okay, gentlemen? This morning is about ladies seeing, okay, not saying go home and you see, you failed here and you failed here and you don't do this and Mozzie said that and the Bible said, No, ladies, it's about making the time to go on your knees before God and say, Lord, this man needs help. How can I help him? How can I help him? That's what it's about. Are we okay with this morning, church? The youngsters, those of you that are living with your parents still, is this making sense to you guys? Really making sense? It must really make sense to you guys. The youngsters, I don't know who else is, whoever's watching online or listening, wherever. May the Holy Spirit enable us to see, Lord, where and how is this change necessary in my life? Let's pray together as the deep end comes up. Father, we've spoken this morning about fatherhood and being a father and how a father's role is to establish moral authority. And you, the greatest father ever, the Lord, the giver of life, who sent us your son Jesus so that we can know you as a father. It's because of Jesus that we can come to you as a father. Yes, you are a judge, but you judge because you love as a father. And you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords because you must rule and reign as a father who loves. And we come to you as our Heavenly Father. We ask that by your Spirit, you give each one of us wisdom to start to apply these things to our lives, to live it out. There where we're doing well, may we do it even better. And there where we're failing, Lord, we're sorry. Be gracious to us. Heal us. Forgive us. And teach us to obey and apply these things to our lives. And as we're in this attitude of prayer, if you don't know God as your Heavenly Father, that He's just a judge and He's angry and cross, and he doesn't know you or doesn't care for you, or if he's too far away to have any significance in your life. If you don't know God as a father and you want to know him as a father, raise your hand. Is there anybody like that here this morning? Anybody? Good, we're all on the same page. Let's stand together as we worship the Lord. Thank you for making the time to worship and fellowship with us this morning. May Almighty God bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. Thank you for making the time to listen. And God willing, we'll see you same time, same place next week. And next week, we'll be celebrating Father's Day.